Hi, I want to preach from the subject it's not over yet. It's not over. It's not over yet. All kinds of things happen to us. Things happen out of the clear blue sky. Everything is going well. And all of a sudden, trouble comes. You feel like you're doing fine, and all of a sudden you get a bad diagnosis. Feel like things are going fine in your relationship, and all of a sudden trouble comes in your relationship. You're doing a good job. You've been at your job for a long time, and from nowhere you get a pink slip that they're closing your company and it's moving to Ogden, Utah. And if you want to keep your job, you got to move to Ogden. You say, I'll stay here unemployed. And not only that, but we have stuff going on the inside of us. I was reading this story about this minister, this preacher, who he found out later on that some trusted teacher molested his sister when she was in grammar school, and he had a hard time forgiving the person. How many of you know it's hard to forgive somebody who molested your sister or molested your child? And we can get up here and talk. We're preachers and we're deacon and deaconess, but if it happens to you, it's hard. It's hard to forgive your mother or your father who abuses you as a child. And then you go to church and say, on Mother's Day, and say, you just love your mother. You say, it's hard to love my mother who abused me. Or who knew that the man was abusing me and did nothing about it. And then later on, the only answer that she has is, I did the best I could. And you say, it wasn't good enough. But the gospel is for both the child and the mother. The gospel says, mother, even though you fail, or dad, even though you fail your child, and even though there's some issues that the child has for you, it's not over because you made a mistake, because God can work it out. Our problem is very often, we don't take the long view of God. We take the short view. Now, the other thing I want to say, sometimes people think that God brings all of this stuff on us. God, this text says, and we know that all things worked to the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. It does not say that all things are good. It said all things can work together for the good. How many of you know there are some bad things that happen? Bad things that happen in our lives. We are hurt, we are crushed, we are mad, we are angry. And we are waiting somehow for God to work it out, but it doesn't appear that he's working it out fast enough. And even though God is intermingled, one translation says that God intermingles into everything. Everything doesn't come from God's hand, but everything goes through God's hand. Isn't that good news? Even though stuff comes from evil people, and even though there are things that happen to us that hurt us, God still intermingles in that stuff. And God has a way of, he doesn't intend everything to happen to us, but he superintends everything that happens to us. Meaning he knows what's happening and how we hurt and how we groan and how painful life can be sometimes. And God somehow can take things that happen to us and he can bend it for our good. And you sit there and say, well, how, I don't get it. I don't get it. How can this divorce, how can this betrayal, how can this pain be for my good? I don't stand here telling you I know how it is, but I know God can take what hurts and he can bend it towards a greater purpose. And somehow, now it does not happen instantaneously, because sometimes we cry. How many of you know sometimes that hurts the most develops us the most? Nobody wants it. Nobody is looking for it. But God has a way of shaping us through the crucible of suffering. And most of the times in the church that we live in today, we think that our purpose is to be happy. Just be happy. We think that our purpose is to be successful. Well, if I could just get that job making $100,000 or $200,000 a year, oh, that would be great. But God is leading us to teach us how to be like his son. God wants us to be like Jesus. Jesus was a suffering servant. God wants us to know that we have to sacrifice something for somebody else's benefit. God wants us to serve one another. He doesn't just want, and listen, many of us, we think, oh, I went to service today. Mm-hmm. That's not what God had in mind. We go to worship so that we can be better servants. When was the last time you did anything for anybody that you did not look for, pay for? When was the last time you visited somebody? When was the last time you wrote somebody a letter? When was the last time you did something for somebody? When was the last time you smiled at somebody, for God's sake? It says, for we know that all things. Can you imagine some of the stuff that happens to us? And the scripture has the nerve to say, for we know in all things. It does not say in a few things that work together. It does not say in many things it works. It says, for we know in all things work together for the good. Look back on your life. Look back on it. Just press the rewind button. Look at the painful situation that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Now look how God has worked it out. You still in your right mind? Got a better house? You got his Social Security. Got his health, you got his insurance. You saw him or her a couple of years ago and they were looking terrible, and look at you. But not only that, but look internally in your own spirit. Look how he took the bitterness away. Look how he gave you joy again. Look how he gave you peace of mind again. You remember when you could get no peace. You remember how you prayed and you cried and you worshiped. And then one day you don't even know when the peace came, but the joy came back again. Look at somebody and say, he'll work it out. He'll work it out. I don't know how he's going to work it out. He may not work it out, but don't you quit. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up on God. You keep praying. You keep waiting. You keep worshiping. And in due time, he'll work it out. And those who love the Lord. It says, and we know that all things. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't always know that. But the scripture teaches that. And thanks be to God, you got people like Deacon Collins, who's 94, who lived through something, and our elders teach that. Our elders say, don't give up on God. Our elders say, you're going to go through some stuff. I didn't get 94 not going through some stuff. Now, he looked like he ain't been nothing. He got that hair slick and all that. Got that tie on. He's always matched up. But I know he's been through something. But he still can say God is good. I know he's a doctor. I know he's been through some brain surgery. But God is still good. He's a healer. Every last one of us, if you haven't been anything through anything, just keep on living. You're going to go through something. But he can work it out. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You have to love the Lord. Text also says, those whom he foreknew, he predestined them to conform to the image of his son. Which is to say, he wanted to make us like Jesus. Now, you know, we all love Jesus, but none of us want to be like him. Oh, we clap our hands and we just make, oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. If you want more power, call him up. Tell him what you want. But before you get the power, sometimes you got to be crucified. Sometimes you got to go through something. You just don't get power without God. You got to learn how to lean on him. You got to learn how to ask for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in your life. You got to believe. You got to open yourself up to the Spirit of God to empower you from the inside out. We want that external power. I was laying in bed the other day, and I don't know, this commercial or something come on saying that after you get 30 years old, that every year you lose about 10% of your muscle mass. How many of you know you can lose your muscle and not even know it? I mean, I used to be able to lift. Jay, I'm telling you, brother, you got to keep exercising. Because one day you'll wake up and you'll be weak. You got to press that out. You got to press it. And you go to the gym and you're 62 and you remember, my God, I used to be able to lift a whole 160 pounds. Here I am struggling to lift the bar. Because my muscle left and didn't tell me. Spirit can leave you without telling you if you don't study, if you don't worship. You talking about your muscle power. What about your spiritual muscle power? You better worship. You better praise him. You better get, because the Spirit can leave you and you don't even know it. And you in this world all by yourself. There's some things that you can't handle by yourself. You need the Spirit. When people walk out on you, when people hurt you, when you are sick and the doctor does not give you a good report, you better have some spiritual muscle. All things. And it says, now I like this other part, because you know we are a worshiping community. We like to worship. Well, I guess we do. Hold up our hands. Hallelujah. And there's a place for worship. But there's also a place for service. I believe your worship is better after you've done some service. And this text, it goes on to say in verse, in that eighth chapter, it also says, moreover, whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. And who he justified, he glorified. I I like the fact that even though when you go back to Romans 7, it talks about the war that goes on the inside. When I would do good, evil is present. When I know what I ought to do and then I don't do what I ought to do. You know, when I would do good, I do bad. And anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm glad for the fact that if, and I think it's Romans 5, it says in the first verse, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How many of you know that you can't justify yourself by your works? You can't justify yourself just because you sing in the choir. You can't justify yourself just because you've been on the deacon board. But you got to have faith in Jesus Christ. But I don't care who you are. You're going to blow it every now and then. You're going to fall down every now. And you can be a preacher. You can be a deacon. And you're still going to blow it every now and then. But look at somebody and say, I'm justified by my faith. Because I accept Jesus Christ. That he died on the cross for me. And he's coming back again. And since I believe him. Since I have faith in him. I'm justified. That means I have been made right. That means that I'm in a better standing than I used to be. Not because of my education, not because I look good, but I'm justified because I have faith. And you might know something about my background. And you might say, the Lord certainly can't use that rascal. That low life. But look at somebody and say, it ain't about you. I don't have faith in you, know how. My faith is in Jesus Christ. And he called me, and when he called me, he justified me. That means he gave me a right standing. And Reverend Hilton said it, when you come to the altar, God don't look at you. He looks at his son, Jesus Christ, who you have faith in. And Jesus Christ says, I got that rascal Jackson covered because he gave his heart to me a long time ago. And don't look at his sins. Look at my righteousness. And that's why I say hallelujah. Because I deserve death. I deserve not to have a second chance or a 40th chance. But because I believe in Christ, he gave me another chance. And thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy that suits my case. Thank you, God. I don't know how. I don't know how he works it out. This is Reverend Hilton's favorite saying. I've heard her say it. 1,000 times. I don't know if Romans 8:28 is a favorite scripture or not, but I heard it say, he'll work it out. You're a single mother, he'll work it out. Somebody been to jail, he'll work it out. Somebody's been sick and don't know how you're going to get well. There's a lot of us have been sick. He'll work it out. I don't know how he does it. That's not my job. To figure out how God's going to work it out. My job is to have faith. Because I'm justified by faith. And then. He says. Those whom he called. He justified. And those whom he justified. He glorified. There's another scripture said that. To suffer with him. You're also going to reign with him. And I don't know. I'm just so glad that, you know, Deacon Dow, that was another translation in this word to justify that says that, you know, those whom he called, he justified. But another translation says those whom he called, he acquitted. That means it looked bad. How many of you know sometimes you go to court, it looks bad. And you know you're guilty, and you're just praying, Lord, I hope my judge got a little mercy. And the worst thing you can do when you know you're guilty and going there and acting stupid, you know, going to stand up and act, you know, don't dress right, don't act right. You go in pleading for mercy and praying that the Lord will send a judge that will have some mercy. And so when you come before this altar, you've got to repent. How many of you know that repentance is still in order? You've got to come before him saying, I'm sorry, God. I blew it big time. I'm like David. I'm not worthy. I'm like the prodigal son. I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. But because I believe in Jesus Christ, I know I'm wrong. Lord, will you just acquit me? And if you'll acquit me, if you'll give me another chance, I'll give you the glory. I will give you the glory. I don't care what people say. I'll stand at the White House and say he's a good God. I'll stand before the Pope and say he's a good God. I'll stand in jail and say he's a good. I'll stand with the posse, my colleagues, my buddies. I'll still say he washed me. He cleansed me. He picked me up. He gave me a second chance. I'll give him the honor. I'll give him the praise. I'll give him the glory. If you don't want to praise him, don't hinder me. He's been too good for me to sit down. I give him the honor because he justified. Because he justified. Terrible thing. Terrible thing to know you're guilty and then experience grace and act stupid. When grace comes, I remember reading a story about this little boy. Just tells you how he works it out. This little boy was playing Little League baseball. He was on third base. So this man was standing by third base. And it was kind of a lull in the baseball. So the man asked the little fellow on third base, well, what's the score? The little boy said, well, we're behind 18-0. And the man said, well, you don't look like you're behind. You look pretty happy. How is it you can be so happy? The little boy said, well, why should I be sad? We haven't even gotten to bat yet. He had confidence. He had faith. He believed that when we get to the plate, it looks bad right now. But he probably knew that God can work it out. Don't write me off just because we're 18 and nothing. He might have said, I saw their practice. If they can get 18, we probably can get 36. But the point is in your life, when it looks bad, when you can't see how God's going to do it, when it looks like you're 18-0 behind, trust God. Obey God. I remember, you know, all the flying I do. And I had to go to Washington last week, and it was storming and raining all over the place. I have to tell you the truth. I was glad we took the train. I was looking up in the sky saying, thank you for trains. But sometimes when you fly and you get in that turbulence, and I'll be sitting there with these black knuckles that's turned white. Holding on. Now I have confidence because I have confidence. When I get in those storms, I have confidence that, first of all, that this pilot has had some training. And the other confidence that I had, I don't hear about a whole lot of planes crashing because of storms. I don't hear about planes crashing because they got hit by lightnings. I know that I just have to ride out the storm. God never promises you a life without turbulence, but he promised safe arrival. I wish I could promise you that you'd never have any heartache, you'd never have any pain. I wish I could tell you that nobody would ever die. I wish I could tell you nobody would ever betray you. You're going to have some ups and downs in your life, but I declare unto you, if you trust God, he'll give you safe arrival. Oh, when I'm in turbulence, I love to hear that pilot come on to say, we're 30 minutes from Newark. I love to hear that flight attendant, and I always keep my eye on the flight attendants. I always keep my eye on them. Now, if they look like they're getting nervous, my prayer gets into double mode. But I'm a living witness. I've been in a lot of storms, but we've always landed safe. I've seen people here in this church over the last 29 years, faithful members, ups and downs in life and marriages and relationships and sufferings and unemployment and family problems. People don't always tell you their business, but you begin to know stuff. But people still trust God. They still pray. I've seen deacons who are healthy die in the Lord. And we're all going to die. It depends on how you die. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for myself. I don't want to be a preacher, and I've talked to people about this. I don't want to be a preacher that always encouraging other people. You know, the Lord will make a way. And when my time comes, and when I'm up here, and when I'm sick, and when I'm going through something, I don't want to be a spiritual weakling. I don't want to quit on God. First little trouble that comes in my own life, I don't want people to say, hey, look at old Jackson. He's been around for 29 years talking that stuff. He don't even believe it. I want to be able to tough it out. My number one prayer is, to be honest with you, Lord, I don't mind dying. Just don't let me suffer forever. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. But guess what? You don't have, that's not your choice. That's not my choice. I mean, I know I'm gonna go. I'm praying it's gonna be a long time. I plan to get to 95. I want to look just as good as you. Maybe a little better. I mean, I'm just being real. But I pray that as the evening shades do appear, that I won't be a spiritual weakling. I get a hiccup and I start calling the deacon in to lay on hands. I pray that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will intercede on my behalf and yours, amen. And we know that all things work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined that they may conform to the image of his Son. That he would be the first fruit among the many brethren. And furthermore, those whom he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified,